For those who would like, have a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and resistance to the difference.
Jill, I'm not the problem.
Jill.
The simple action group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. The restrooms are across the foyer and a small flight of stairs. At this time, we ask that all silence their cell phones, including the chairperson. And that we, during the meeting, we ask that all refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions to a minimum and allow those who are here to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that message and to focus precisely on how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems and help others recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supported through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, any denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversations, ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This step, tonight we're on the second half of step 12. And we want to welcome our panel who came from Gloucester. This is Bob and Larry. I will read a paragraph or two, and then after each reading, our guests will share their experience on the paragraphs I'm reading tonight. Okay. And on tonight, we start on page 96, and I'm going to read the step first. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So on page 96, we start with, Suppose now you are making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision to tell his story. Do not insist on it if he prefers to consult someone else. And start going.
Alcoholic, my name's Bob Edwards.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, everybody. Well, in my own experience is when I was introduced to AA, and I was 12-stepped into Alcoholics Anonymous. When I call on someone or I'm referred to someone who has reviewed the book and decided that they, in fact, are interested in going through the program of recovery, the steps of the program, I usually open up and talk about the fact that I introduce them to the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that what I had suggested to me is that I attend meetings on a regular basis, and I try to show up early for these meetings and hand them a when and where for the immediate area that we're in the district that we're in. I share that I knew absolutely nothing about staying sober, and that this program was a program seeking a power greater than ourselves. And to find that power, I would have never found it without the directions of the people in the fellowship, and specifically a sponsor. And I explained to them what a sponsor is. A sponsor is a guide. A sponsor is someone who sponsors and also has a sponsor themselves. And they've gone through these experiences. It's sort of like being at night on the Dismal Swamp, and you've never been there before, and you're going to have to cross that swamp. And although it's a full moonlit night, there's a lot of reptile activity in that water. And you can either have this flashlight and this map showing you where the rocks to step on, or you can take Larry here, who's been across this swamp 150 times with guiding people, and usually they want to think about that for a minute. And you know you're dealing with someone that really does need this program. I can certainly identify with them, but I talked to them about sponsorship and the importance of it, and also the importance of blending in and becoming a part of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Attending meetings was very important, nightly if at all possible, which I did for quite some time. To give yourself an opportunity to find a sponsor, and even the book even indicates that we don't try to force ourselves on this individual. If they want to share, that's fine, but if they want to go and find their own sponsor, that's fine too. But encourage them to understand that I could not, over my 28 years of drinking, I could not find sobriety and control my alcoholism on my own. I had to have help in doing that. And it took me, and I share this with people, it took me a long time, and I still had to be 12-stepped. I never came to the final conclusion on my own that I was going to walk into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and that I would find my solution there. I had to be brought in. And of course, the great thing about going to meetings and becoming a part of the fellowship is that I was encouraged to identify with the people who shared, who have recovered via the steps of the program. Finding a power greater than themselves, a God that of their understanding. And usually at that point, I also share with them the fact that this is not a religious program, and that always comes up. It has with me. And the fact that it's spiritual in nature, and my problem it is centered in my mind, and so if I think I'm going to think my way sober and stay sober, I'm wrong. I'm not going to be able to do that. I need the help of others. And you know, my experience in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous over the years has been that the great news that is that everyone who has someone sitting next to them, if they have a sponsor and they've worked these steps and found sobriety, that they too want the person sitting next to them to have the gift that was given to them. So this is the 12th step we pass this on. But identification, very important to identify with what you hear in the meetings and to formally take a first step in the program. To find a home group, and I define home group to them, and I was told, take as long as you want, but do it in a month. And I found my home group in 2 weeks, and I found my sponsor, my first sponsor, in 3 weeks. So I share that with them. I let them know that they have every right to pick anyone, and they have the right to ask them about their sobriety and whether they're sponsored or not. And I encourage them to attend meetings regular, to show up early. And we have what we call meetings after the meetings. And it's very important to be to feel a part of the fellowship, which I did very early on. I wanted sobriety. I just didn't know how to go about it. And that this is a new way of living and a new way of thinking. And you're going to need the fellowship, you're going to need a sponsor, a home group, and you're going to need a power source, and that's God, whatever you define that. And if that happens to end up being, in the beginning, your home group, the people in your home group, AA as a whole, what you hear in every meeting every night, if that's your higher power, that will do very nicely. And from this point, if you take the necessary actions, you never have to drink again and you never have to be alone again. And that's exactly what they said to me. And I found that to be true, and that's been 26 years ago. And carrying the message is the responsibility. The end step, step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, I'm to carry this message and practice these principles. And that's the gift we're given, and you'll be given that gift. And when you do, you'll be asked to carry that message to another suffering alcoholic and continue this process. So I think with that, I'll pass on to Larry.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
I'm Larry. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
It's good to be here tonight. I always enjoy coming down here. Not necessarily speak, but to be with you guys. And I'm honored that you guys asked me to come down. You know, when I have a newcomer or even someone that maybe has been in the program for a little while but struggling and comes to me and asks for help, the first thing that I always like to talk about is a willingness. How much willingness do you have? What are you willing to do? You know, we talk about going to any length, but what does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. You know, are you willing to commit to 4 or 5 meetings a week at least? Are you willing to find a home group? Are you willing to choose a sponsor and try to work with that sponsor and work these steps? And at some point in time, I think you get a feel for a newcomer. None of us are 100% gung-ho ready to do this thing. You know, we might tell ourselves we are, but I think once you find that someone really does want this and is willing to give it a try, then I begin to try to work with them right away. And it's like some of the things that Bob talked about. I talk about hitting 4 or 5 meetings a week. I talk about finding a home group. And talk about being active in that home group. What are you doing to help that home group carry the message? You know, even as a newcomer, you can participate in that. I tell them it's always good to get a little AA job right off the bat. Even if that's just helping set up chairs or make coffee or put out the literature, whatever that is, find something. It helps to make that commitment to your home group. And then commit to getting together with a sponsor, whether that's me or somebody else, on a regular basis and going through this first 164 pages. And reading paragraph by paragraph, word by word, and talking about that and having a dialogue about that. And as Bob said, having someone that's already gone through that process and has felt the spiritual awakening part in the beginning of a new life, have them guide you through that process. I really considered myself a smart guy when I got to AA. I was college educated. I knew a lot, or at least I thought I did. But I couldn't stay sober for a 24-hour period. And I desperately, desperately needed your all's help. And I find today that when I get a newcomer that desperately needs help and really wants that help, I try to make myself available to him as much as I can. I like what my sponsor tells me today. I'll put as much passion and effort into this thing as you do. I'll meet you. For every effort you make, I'll meet you with that effort. And I try to do the same thing with the newcomer. Give them real nuts and bolts thing. Give them structure. You know, I had absolutely no structure when I got here. My mind was all over the place. I had all kinds of ideas about what sobriety was and what was AA and what was I supposed to be doing here. But the truth is, I had to let go of those ideas and listen to something new and be given some structure, be given some plans of action. You know, you guys talk about these simple actions, these basic steps that we have to take. And guide this new person, because if you're anything like me when you got here, you know, you were ready to do a million things, and most of those, 99% of them, were wrong. I really needed clear direction. And so I think today when I get with someone new who's ready, who really wants to do this thing, is give them some clear direction. Give them some simple actions to take, some basic steps. Things like hitting 4 or 5 meetings a week, choosing a sponsor, choosing a home group, committing to meeting once a week to read through this book. And I tell them sometimes we'll read a whole chapter when we get together. Other times we might read a paragraph or two. But what's important is that we're getting together and we're getting into the meat of this thing and we're working through it. And I find that this is like the icing on the cake for me. I always share that. I share that with the guys that I sponsor. I say, I hope to see each and every one of you work all the way up through the 12th step, because that's like the gift that Bob talked about, finally being able to help somebody else. That's where I really truly get the freedom that I've been seeking all my life. I got freedom from a 4-step and freedom from a 5th step, but nothing works. Nothing keeps me spiritually connected as working with somebody else in the program. I think I'm done for now.
Okay. The next paragraph is on page 98. It starts with, "It is not a matter of giving a key question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely on our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken some very hard knocks to learn the truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking as long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of our dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts God and clean house."
This is a good one. I have heard every reason why they think they can do this, but they have this electricity bill that that if they don't get this paid, that they're just, but they'll start meetings as soon as they can get enough money together to. Or if the wife would come back, and I let them go ahead and get it all out, all the reasons, and I then say to them that if I hadn't listened to the people when I first walked in the door, who said, "If you will make this number one priority in your life today, everything you've ever lost, you will either not have to regret again, or you will reclaim it and it'll be better than ever. I'm not going to guarantee you that your wife will come back, but I will assure you that your life and your decisions over time will greatly improve, and you will begin to see clearly that had you not made this first in your life, priority one, take the action. Don't worry about the outcomes. Just take the action, and things will begin to change in your life. Hmm. And so wife or no wife, job or no job. And I can tell you that when I was 12-stepped, I was 12-stepped over the phone from my high school drinking buddy 450 miles away after years of other family members, all none of which were recovered alcoholics. And he did it in 5 minutes and over the telephone, that if you will commit yourself to this, absolutely everything in your life will change. But I got to tell you, we got to start at the start, and we do this one day at a time. We don't get into the tomorrows. We've been living in yesterday and in the future throughout our drinking career. I have. And now it's time to take the action that is suggested. And if you will make this number one, you will begin to slowly, your life will come together. No matter what your present circumstances, it says right on page 100, and I love that piece, no matter what your present circumstances. And then I share a little bit about my condition at the time I came in, and that I hadn't held a job. I lost my company, my business that I owned. And 2.5 years later, I'm still drunk as a skunk, and I had to be 12-stepped. I was given the opportunity, and many people tried. And what I know today is that AA has been a gift to me. But I had to discover that gift over a period of time and commit to the action. I've had people stay at my house. What I've learned about these things over time is that some of us are pretty good gamers, and I could game. I could certainly do the gaming as well. But as you're really interviewing this person, is what you're doing with love and compassion and tolerance that the program teaches us. And you know, I can see a pattern, just like my first sponsor could see the pattern in my thinking in me. And if I offer someone who needs lodging, and a guy was sleeping in his car outside of Newington Church one night, 6 inches of snow. He was all bundled up in there after the meeting, and I said, you know, I have my house is not far from here, and you're welcome to come and spend the night, and in the morning we'll talk about maybe you can stay here until you can get on your feet a little better. You're living in this car and had been. And what I did with this fellow, I learned this, to do this. I said, you know, I'm going to offer you an opportunity to stay in this house. If you'll go to your meetings and attend AA, I'll let you stay in this house for up to 2 weeks. But I know you need work, and I don't know if you've been looking for it, but at the end of the 2 weeks, you're either going to be paying for staying here, or you're going to be out looking for another place. You know, and that may sound a little harsh, but the reality is, if you keep giving me something, I'm going to keep taking it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what alcoholism brought me to. And so the boundaries and the disciplines that Larry talked about, I had to learn to establish them within myself and within my family, but I also had to learn when and how to establish them with someone that I'm 12-stepping and trying to help. And I have lent money, and I've helped people out that way, not big money, because I never made big money much after that. But what I do is, when I lend it to someone, I never consider getting it back. It's And my sponsor was big on this. Bob, if you're going to do this, just give it in that manner that don't expect it to ever be returned. If it is, fantastic. But we do this proportionately, and even the big book suggests that actually it says we don't want to be their God. We don't want us to be the person doing everything for them. But depending on my observation and what I hear as to what I'm going to offer, if anything at all, other than guidance and support and help them through the steps if they want to. But I think everyone deserves, certainly Butch Miller thought I deserved an opportunity, a crack at Alcoholics Anonymous to get sober. I don't want to turn my back because the guy needs a few nights sleep in a real bed and some meals on someone that, you know. I used to think years ago that I could almost look at them in an hour, I could tell you whether they were going to make it or not. Talk about an ego. And what I know today is I'm wrong. I was always wrong. And God had convinced me over a period of time just how wrong I am in my judgment. You know, and I'm grateful for that understanding because this is a program of miracles, absolute miracles. And if I judge you by what you look like when you come in and try to gauge it from there, I'm going down the wrong path. What I need to do is simply share my experience and tell you that you don't have to live this way anymore. And things may look tough to you now, but you know what? Things will change, and you will be amazed, absolutely amazed. But you got to take the action. Are you willing to go to any length for sobriety? And I expect an answer. I don't want a nod. I want them to say, yes, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to take that action. Now pass to Larry.
Thanks, Bob. I think I like the line about clamoring for this and that. We alcoholics, we know exactly what we need in our lives to make us happy, you know. I need to have a girlfriend or wife that looks like this, and I need to have a house that looks like this, and a car that drives like that, and a job that pays like this. And I was thinking about early recovery for myself and early in AA, and I've forgotten about it. I haven't thought about this in years. I had an alcoholic that tried to give me a job. This was a guy that had a couple years under his belt and needed somebody to come work for a company that he owned. And I remember telling him what I needed to be paid, what hours I preferred to work. I want to know about what benefits were going to come with it. Oh my God, was I full of myself. And then I think the last straw for him was when he began to try to, he was working with his accounting people, trying to figure out what he could afford to pay, probably what he was willing to pay. And then I laid the last piece of icing on the cake for him. I said, oh, and I need a good health care package for my wife and my three children. If you can't do that for me, I don't want to work here. Now, I hadn't been employed for almost a year and a half when I got here. I should have taken a job if McDonald's offered me one sweeping the floor. You know, that's what kind of alcoholic I was when I got here. But boy, I could tell you about what I needed and what you know, all the people in my life should be giving me. So when we read this thing about clamoring for this or that, that's me all over it. I think the toughest thing for an alcoholic to learn and to try to help guide an alcoholic new to this thing is this idea of trust in a higher power. And that, and I think it comes up later in the reading about what happens when we put ourselves in the hands of a higher power. It's always far much better than anything I can figure out. You know, I remember sitting in meetings early on and someone saying that if they had made a list of all the things that they wanted out of recovery and they had just gotten that, they would have sold themselves short when they first got here. And that's been true for me. It's hard because I think we think we know. I used to say this to one of my sponsees. I said, we think we know what will make us happy. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I have no idea.
That's right.
I've gotten exactly what I've wished for on certain occasions and been absolutely miserable. You know? It's like that buyer's remorse. You know, you go out and you wheel and deal to get this car and you finally get it, and then you start thinking about the payments you got to start making every month, and you think, oh my God, what did I get myself into? You know? I think good sponsorship has been for me someone that gently kept guiding me back and focusing on the real issue at hand. And that was, I needed help to stay sober a day at a time. I needed connection to a power that would give me the power to solve my dilemma, which was powerlessness. And that all the wonderful ideas about how I should be living and what kind of job I've had and what kind of life I should be living, that all needed to be set to the side. Because all my ideas up to this point had failed. Every idea, every good idea I had come before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous ultimately failed. They might have periods of success, but I was the one that always pulled the house of cards down on top of myself. And sometimes it's hard to be patient. I don't know how many of you have worked with a newcomer that really wants all these things. It's like my sponsor today. He talks about the honey and the money. You know, he says, those are the two most important things, the honey and the money. You know? And I remember when I first started meeting with him, he said, I'll give you 2 minutes to talk about the honey and money, and then we're going to get in the book. And fortunately, I'd been in the program long enough at that point. I said, I'm good. Let's just get in the book. Because I knew that's where the solution was. It wasn't in who I'm living with, where I'm living, what kind of job I have. And for all my life before I got here, I thought that's what it was all about. But today, what I get to do as a sponsor, or not even as a sponsor, but just when I'm sharing my experience with a newcomer, is I can share, hey, you know, I had all these grandiose ideas about what kind of life I was supposed to be living. And if you painted that picture and then took the picture of my life today and put them side by side, they look nothing alike. God took me in far different directions than I ever could have imagined. I could sit here and tell you about a few, but I won't bore you. But the life I lead today is beyond my wildest imagination. I could not have come up with the circumstances. But that was only because I had patient sponsorship that continually refocused me and redirected me and said, turn it over, work these steps, keep showing up, keep suiting up, try to commit to the responsibilities you have in life, and eventually all these things just, they begin to iron out and flow together. And it's like the longer you come to this thing, and the more that we do this thing, the more we kind of get in harmony with life. You know, a lot of us call it doing God's will, but I also think it was just kind of harmony with everything going on around me. Because when I got here, I was like that tornado. I was in harmony with absolutely nothing, you know. You would have thought that my main mission in life was to tear everybody apart and ruin everything that came my way. And today I like to think that I'm not the solution to all the problems in the world, but maybe I can be a part to help. And that God will put me in circumstances and give me opportunities to be of service. But that's only through a lot of step work and a lot of patience from you guys. Keep steering me back to the solution. Keep steering me back to the solution. Because as an alcoholic, it's like I'm naturally got that ADHD thing. You know, I'm off over here, I'm off over there. You know, what I need to be told is, come to the meeting, get there 20 minutes early, help set up, focus on what they're saying, you know, work these steps, get a service job. I had to keep being refocused until it became like as natural as drinking. My life in AA today is as natural to me today as drinking was at one time. And trust me, drinking came very naturally to me after a few years of practice. I was good at it. I love working with newcomers, and I hate to see them suffer, but I also know that's part of the process sometimes. And that I like that Father Dowling quote, I think. It's the pain is the touchstone of spiritual progress. I've had to go through some pain myself, but I am so grateful for every bit of it because it got me to where I am today. And today I'm not in a really bad place. I have nothing to complain about. And I share that with the newcomer. That when I got here, when I was in my first 90 days coming around, I had everything to complain about, and I was hoping you'd have some sympathy for me. Bob could tell you how many times I held him hostage out in front of a meeting after the meeting. And he patiently guided me back to the solution over and over again. Bob was here when I came in, and I picked up a white chip. He's part of the reason I'm still sitting at this table. I'm grateful for that. And anytime I get an opportunity to pass that on, what a gift. I bless.
Our next reading is on page 98. Now, the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. Reading Prospect has made such reparations as he can to his family, and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living. He should proceed to put these principles into action at home. This is if he's lucky enough to have a home. Though his family may be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in these for a few months, the effect on the man's family sure would be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness.
Over the years of drinking and delusional thinking and not living in the world of reality, but the world as I think I see it, and certainly nowhere near the world that as it really is at the moment. And I think probably my last 10 years of drinking, I faded in and out of that perception of the world as opposed to the reality of day-to-day living. And what I learned a lot about in Alcoholics Anonymous is that a dialogue with God was absolutely necessary. And I learned, I was raised in a church, but when I was 14, 15 years old, I walked away from that because I found Jeannie Gillespie and and I bought a 49 Ford and I found Maddie's Pub on Wheeling Island. And my life, my new life began, and this is when I became all about me. And you don't see that. I didn't see it. I didn't sense it. To me, it was the grandest thing that ever happened. Anything that I ingest that makes me feel the way I feel, especially as an attention deficit person who struggled through school, I had arrived. So I lose over a period of time of once I've crossed the line to alcoholism, the focus is on me, it's all about me, and I don't have the ability to have a dialogue with people where I'm really listening to anything you have to say. And what I know is, this is, and the book talks about it, is this is probably the toughest place to practice the principles is within the family that you stayed drunk in, which in my case was a wife and two young daughters. And when I got sober, when I started to get sober, I had this sense of I could almost see other people's downfalls, I mean, very clearly. And, you know, I was divorced when I finally got sober, when I finally got into the fellowship, and my ex-wife had remarried, and she was a great lady, and we were communicating, but I had a daughter that hadn't stated openly a number of years before that she didn't want anything more to do with me. If I wanted to come visit, that was fine, but she wasn't going to spend any more weekends with me at the beach house, and she was sick and tired of being sick and tired of my actions and behaviors. And you know, I had to earn that respect back. And when you start into the program, I didn't have anyone saying, well, why do you have to go again tonight? Because I was living alone, but I had sponsees that were facing that. And the reality is we do lose our ability. I want to get right to the, as an agitated alcoholic, I want to get right to the heart of this business. You're wrong, I'm right. Let's get that straight. And what the book is telling me is, you know, to aggravate and agitate someone, what happens is they don't hear anymore. They just shut you out. A girl very early in recovery, and I know her to this day, and I'm grateful for what she told me. She said, you know, Bob, there's a thing we use that I think you'll find very familiar with. Why don't we agree to disagree? When you're ready to go into a real slam, knockdown, punch them out argument with your ex or your current, you know, why don't you just take a breather, step back from it, and just agree that, you know what, let's talk about it later. Let's cool down a little bit. That didn't happen for me right away. I had to ease into that. But what I know today, and I try to share it right from the beginning, is I have a right to state how I feel, even when I'm wrong, and I will state it wrong and all. But you have a right, too. And, you know, that respect for the other person didn't come quickly. But I like what Larry was saying a few minutes ago, is we have to keep redirecting the newcomer. We have to. I had that constantly, and it was so absolutely detrimental to my ongoing long-term sobriety. You know, if you're not learning and growing in this program, you're going to get real uncomfortable, so uncomfortable that a drink will become very attractive to you. And for me to argue, and this is what I was told, for you to argue on any level at this point, Bob, would probably be detrimental to your limited short-term sobriety. You know, it's hard to hear that you've been wrong for so long. You know, but really it's like a layer of the onion skin that just has to come off. And if it doesn't come off, you know, there's a lot worse things in store. So we have to kind of face the music little by little. And what better way than have an alcoholic in recovery share with you that we got to learn to listen more and talk less. We got to learn to respect that because I'm crazy about this, you may not be. I understand. What all I need to share with my family is, I couldn't stop drinking, and this seems to have kept me sober, though it be a limited period of time. You know, I have to do what my sponsor asked me to do. And this is sensitive stuff for women who have tried to get someone sober in every way possible. They love this individual, but the problem is they don't understand alcoholism, the disease, and they're not alcoholic themselves. I mean, there's doctors out there that can't help alcoholics because they're not in recovery. They know what they were taught, 12 hours in medical school. That's what they get, 12 hours in medical school. But a recovered alcoholic doctor can help you in a heartbeat. Mm. The family can be the fastest road to a relapse I can possibly think of, honestly. And when I learn to dialogue and allow you to dialogue and agree that we're going to disagree at times, and if you want to talk to my sponsor, you're welcome to do that, you know. But this is the way I have to live, and you know what? I'm liking this, and maybe if you try it, you might like it too, but I understand if you don't. That understanding, what I just said, just doesn't come very quickly. It didn't for me. And working closely, it's what I was telling Larry, and Larry's known me a long time, but I love working with families. I've been doing that for years, and I just love sick families because, you know, if they're sick enough, you can really just little things really bring them ahead, and they catch the spark much quicker than you would. But you got to be able to dialogue with them and open their mind up and give them an opportunity. And it's very hard living with someone that has beat your family to a pulp and possibly spent every cent that they ever made and are deeply in debt before they even walk in the door. To this day, with my daughters, and they're in their 40s today. I've got a 23-year-old grandchild. I have to remember that my opinion is simply mine, and it could very well be wrong. When I really started to sober up, I realized that my kids were very smart. I was amazed at how smart my kids got just seemingly overnight. You know, this whole thing is coming back in the reality of life, and for a new person, you can't make all this happen. You just, like Larry said, you got to keep moving them. When they get left to center, you got to say, this is how we handle this. And sometimes we just have to accept that we'll agree to disagree. But if you start the argument, as right as you may be, you're still wrong if you do it. Because in the long run, you'll ultimately walk away with something you're very familiar with, and that's called a resentment. And what I was told from the get-go, the fastest way to relapse is through resentments. Number one offender is resentments. There's another R, and that's relationships. Too soon in recovery. So, okay, I've rattled down. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. I kind of focused on this line about the prospect and his family, and to them the new principles by which he is living. I can remember coming home after about a month of meetings and telling my wife what, you know, I'm a new person. I got 30 days. I'm spiritual. He should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. And you know what? I was lucky enough to still have a home, although I had contributed nothing to that family for a year and a half of my last bit of drinking. And for years before that, I hadn't contributed much, maybe a little income here and there, you know. But, you know, is that the way I saw it when I got here? Hell no. These people were lucky I was still sharing a home with them, you know. And this idea about argument and fault finding, that was the order of the day in my house, especially on my part. God bless my ex-wife, you know. She really did put up with a lot. And my marriage that I had when I came into the program, we stuck it out for several years while I was getting sober and trying to get my head on straight. But eventually it didn't work out. But because of this program, I actually have a pretty decent relationship with her today. And I've got three beautiful children from that relationship. And I have a good relationship with them. And so even though the marriage didn't stay intact, the relationships are as healthy as possible in that set of circumstances. And I don't owe that to any thinking that I did. It's this program getting me to change my outlook and my perspective. Mm-hmm. Because I was filled with fault finding. And because the truth was, it was beginning to dawn on me how wrong I had been. And that's a painful situation for an alcoholic, to be sober and to realize how wrong we have been. Trying to get a sponsee through that process can be tough, but a lot of it is encouragement, a lot of it is patience, a lot of it is prayer and continued step work. It's a good section. It's the tough, I think Bob shared, it's one of the toughest things to get through. I'll pass.
Our next reading is on page 100. I'm only going to read this one. There are actually two, and I'll tell you what the other one is afterwards. But the first one is, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we will realize that things that came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could put a plan. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances.
Okay. That's probably one of my favorite readings. You know, we all hit the highs and lows, sober or drunk. It doesn't matter. Life keeps presenting itself each day. And thank God in sobriety, through the steps and a power source, a God of my understanding, and just a slew of people, you know, that come into your life. And the more meetings you go and the retreats you go through, and you know, is all of this is like a college education. And the great news is that it never stops. But you know, if I just stick with what the book suggests and listen to my sponsor, remarkable things are going to happen in my life. I know few people that could tell me today that have any sobriety, that very few to tell me that they don't have remarkable things happening in their life today. I mean, to stop drinking and stop moaning, you know? I mean, there's a lot of stop drinking and lots of whining, but there's, when someone grabs sponsorship and begins this journey as the steps, you know, I love what it says in the 12 and 12 in the foreword. They're a group of principles, they're spiritual in nature. When a sponsee says, well, I want to get the spiritual part, just do this step. You know, this is your building block. We're building that. And, you know, if practice is a way of life, it expels the obsession and it enables the sufferer to become, the words are, happily and usefully whole. Something happens and I am removed from self, and I have given an opportunity to carry what was disastrous in my life as a gift to another alcoholic if they're willing to identify with my story in any way, male or female. You know, by the time you get to this page, lots of miracles have taken place. If I had planned what I thought, after even 2 months in sobriety, when you're on that, you're working with a sponsor and you're making even bad, even if the coffee's bad, you're making coffee, you know, you're setting up and you're liking what's happening. You might not be shouting it from the, but you're liking it, you know. If you were to project what was going to, you would shortchange, as Larry, you would absolutely, in my case, I would have shortchanged myself. The greatest part of this whole paragraph, I, you know, no matter what your present circumstance, no matter what your present, God is God. God's either everything or he's nothing. Mm. I either have a power source or I do not. Mm. My mind has either been rearranged or it has not. I'm either sober via these steps and as a result of the steps in a spiritual awakening, or I'm not. And I don't want to be a sick, sad person in this program. And I need to keep learning today. We talked about it on the way down. Open-minded, honesty, and willingness. If we start grabbing the rudder out of God's hands and think we know where the boat's supposed to be going, I'm going to be back sitting at a bar somewhere telling you about how I stayed sober for almost 30 years, you know.
Almost 30 years.
And what I know today is This is a gift. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't feel like it in the beginning. And when someone like a sponsor comes down on me, I'm being given a gift I'll never get anyplace else. And it takes a while to understand that and accept it. And we're not the most patient people in the world. You know, I didn't deserve any of this. But that's exactly why we have this program. We are people that really, if it came to what we deserved, we have been gifted for sure. But you got to hang around long enough and take the actions and feel the pain along the way. In this paragraph, I mean, if you show up and do the deal and try to find a new definition for the term honesty in your life, there's one word that's in the book probably 8 different times in the first 164 pages. And that word is motive or motives. It shows up 8 times in the program. And if I only knew one word today that I had to live by, if I stick with my reviewing my motives on a daily basis, I'm going to be okay. Whether it's talking to God or not. You know, if I think I am going to write a situation and I'm not going to take my hands off of it until I do, if I can look at my motives, I can let go and let God do his deal and know that I'm going to be okay whatever way it turns out. I'd never have to drink again. This program has proved this to me. When you and a new man take this walk, remarkable things will happen. But they don't know that. You know, you're the big book. You're the big book. And love and tolerance with them. And when they start projecting me and I just shut them down, I said, you know where we're at today? Here's the date. Here's the time. And here's where our feet are. This is what we can do right now. Let God be God and just ask for the help. And remarkable things will happen in your life. Just stick around. That's all I got.
Thank you. We've run out of time, but the last paragraph is on page 100. I'll let you all read it. It's assuming you're spiritually fit. And so it's great. We can end tonight. I want to thank our panel again, Bob and Larry.
Yeah.
And while contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the set of traditions is essential in every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also the intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that may divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contributions is secondary to the spiritual connection which unites all groups around the world. Are there any AA announcements tonight? We have one next week, because we've come to the end of our steps again. We're going to be having a supper and a speaker. And it will start at 6:00 next week, right here. It's a covered dish, so it will welcome anyone to bring a dish if they wish. But you don't have to. You show up, and our speaker will be at 8:00. And it is Justin from Richmond. 7:00, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said 8. Thank you, Leanne. It's at 7:00 our speaker will be speaking. Any other announcements from any other groups? Okay. Simple actions.
I was just going to mention that there's 2 events on Saturday. Mm-hmm. There's a women's Serenity brunch from 11:30 to 12 in Norfolk, and then there's a Bill W. movie also in Norfolk at 2 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Would home group members please raise your hand? Okay. There's literature on the table that's available, the pamphlets and red envelopes. Red envelopes are a newcomer packet. The books have a small price to see one of the home group members who are helping with that. Our group believes in sponsorship. It's yours for the asking. We urge you do not let delay. Anyone who's interested in sponsorship, there'll be two people at the table after the meeting, Leanne and Evan. We'll be up here to answer any questions you have on sponsorship. And as a reminder, smokers, please use the butt can outside and stay well away from the door. Other people are using the church, and the smoke, if they're staying around the doors, it's kind of intimidating. In closing, we'd like to thank our panel again, and we welcome anyone who'd like to afterwards come out and say thank you, because they came all the way from Boston just to share.
It's a six-hour drive.
Okay. And I'm going to read the last two pages, last two paragraphs on page 164. Brian?
I'm Brian. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Brian.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our group closes with the Lord's Prayer. I don't know who cares to join us.
Lord's Prayer, our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,